Well, good morning. Let's go ahead. 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you have your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I am a banjo picker, and I love to pick the banjo. That's what I do. When I have a few moments of spare time at home, I pick up the banjo. It's always sitting out handy and ready to go. And one of my favorite songs to play on it is I'll Fly Away. And my kids know it now, and they're probably sick of it because I play it a lot. Maybe sometime we'll bring it in here, and that could be a fun thing, I think. This morning, I was going to go back to the book of Ezra, and I even said that last week that I might do that. But you know, there are some things that happened this week at work that got me thinking about some other things and got me studying some other things. And as the Lord has led this week, we're going to talk about something different, and that's okay. What I want to talk about this morning is something I think that we all deal with at least at some point in our lives. Usually at various points in our life, we deal with this. And from all different ages, have you ever just felt very alone and dealt with loneliness? I already see some heads nodding, and I could see people thinking. I could see the wheels turning in some of your minds already. That's a very real thing. Those feelings of loneliness are not just something that can be easily dismissed either. It's a real thing that people experience and go through, whether they know Christ or not. I would say more so those who do not know Christ, that are lost, deal with it and struggle with it on a deeper level. But as we'll look at this morning, I want to look at some things about loneliness and what the Bible says about it, because there's some confusion over this too. As I've had some conversations with folks this week talking about this and different aspects of it, different scenarios, and it's interesting the different thoughts that people have regarding loneliness, especially in regards to whether when a Christian feels lonely at times. So I want to talk about that this morning. Ken already prayed this morning, and so you know what? Let's go ahead and pray anyway. Let's bow in prayer. We'll ask the Lord to meet with us. Father, help me this morning. Strengthen my voice again, Lord. There's cotton floating in the air, and that is bad news for me. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help me this morning and strengthen my voice this morning. Give me the right words to speak as well. I pray you meet with us. Lord, if there's any here this morning, Lord, I know there's some here this morning who in the last week have dealt with loneliness, whether it was brief or lasted a while. It's just a very real thing. And so, Lord, I pray that today would be an encouragement to all of us. May we take something from it today and be able to apply it to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for always being with us. And help us, Lord, through our struggles. Meet with us this morning, I pray, in your name. Amen. Loneliness gets kind of started from the earliest points of life. I love babies. Don't you love babies? The expressions and the things that they do, and you kind of wonder what's going through their mind, right? Curtis, you're experiencing that right now with the newborn, right? And it has its moments when you're trying to sleep and you haven't slept in days, and they keep you up, but I love babies. Somebody showed me a video recently of babies born without being able to see, but getting to try on glasses. They were able to fit, prescription and be able to give them glasses for the first time. And man, you talk about a touching video. Babies, they put these glasses on and they're whole expression changes, and they look at their mother or their father, and they smile, and they're overjoyed and overwhelmed, and I love that. You know, our kids, I think of our kids still as being so little, And they're still quite young, but then, you know, we see a newborn come through the church. I think it was the Hassner's baby I saw the other day, and then I saw how little it was, and I thought, man, my kids are not that little anymore, you know? And you just kind of, you get that feeling, man, I'd like to hold a newborn again, right? And so I love babies. But, you know, babies even have moments where they lie in their crib or they're, you know, laying in a bassinet or something like that, and they have a moment when they realize, I'm alone. You know what I'm talking about? And it's not that they're alone. They haven't been abandoned, hopefully, okay, right? But they're laying there, and they come to this point where they realize, and sometimes you can see it just click in their mind, where's mom? Where's dad, right? And then they just start to cry or they kind of freak out. And babies learn to experience that feeling of loneliness. As you get older, children can sometimes experience feelings of loneliness. Teenagers, although it's interesting to me, when I was a teenager, I enjoyed, and I still do today, I enjoy being alone, okay? Sometimes I just need that time to just be alone. I like that. Not all the time. But a lot of people today, especially amongst it's not just teenagers anymore, but they can't get away from that phone, and they're always hooked up to things, and they always have conversations going and different things that they're, you know, and all these connections and things like that. And, I just think, I don't get it. I don't get it. I like to be disconnected, you know, being alone for a time. But the reality is, there does come a point in anyone's life or at different points of their life when they do feel alone, and it's bothersome. And you can feel troubled through that. And there's different reasons why somebody would feel alone. And we'll talk about some of those. One of the scariest thoughts a person will encounter in life is the thought of being alone with no one to talk to, no one to listen to them, and no one to care about them. Children who are neglected and unloved might even dwell on that daily, which can lead to fears, it can lead to anger and depression. We see that sometimes it can even result later in suicidal thoughts or actual suicide. Okay? Feelings of loneliness. As a person ages, the thought of loneliness becomes, I think, even more real. Or at least more serious. Young adults tend to wonder, will I ever get married? You know, I remember thinking that. Remember being 18 years old and being, oh, I'm just never going to get married. Went to college, tried to find a spouse, you know, for the first 2 years and got sick of trying and kind of gave up on that. And I'm never going to get married. And about the time I gave up on that, God brought this beautiful woman into my life. And you know, God works that way sometimes, all right? Sometimes we just need to let God work. But, you know, you wonder, well, am I ever going to get married? Married couples sometimes worry, will we ever have children? Are we just going to, is it just going to be the two of us? Grandparents sometimes worry about being forgotten or left out. Couples or friends might worry about losing each other, losing that relationship. And these are all very real circumstances. And it's certainly not an exhaustive list, right? Of circumstances that can bring about feelings of loneliness. Loneliness, though, is very, unfortunately, very, very common today. Very common. I see it at work on a daily basis. I see it when we go down to the Good News Mission. Lots of men there struggling with deep feelings of loneliness and depression. And loneliness, feelings of loneliness, is not a sin to feel lonely. It's actually not a sin to do that. So why is it a struggle? Is it wrong? Or what are we supposed to do when we start to feel that way? I've heard some say things like this. Well, if you're lonely, then obviously you're not trusting in God. Well, that may or may not be true. Heard people say things like this, "Don't you know that God is with you? Well, we're all here around you, so you shouldn't feel that way." And these may be valid responses. By the way, don't you love it when people tell you how you should feel in a given circumstance? Yeah. But I think the issues of loneliness go much deeper than any little quick word of advice can actually solve in a person's life. Okay, so let's talk about some of these. It is possible to sit in a room filled with people that you love and still feel lonely. Okay, it's possible. It's possible to go to a family reunion with family members you love and still feel lonely. It's possible to sit in the pew at church or the chairs, whatever, you know, and be surrounded by other believers in Christ and still feel alone. That's very possible. As a Christian, it's possible for you to feel alone in your beliefs or your lifestyle. I certainly experienced that at work. That's a very common thing for me at work. In fact, this last week, which is what brought on some of this, the conversations that happen and the things that get said or the jokes that get made because you're a believer in Christ and because your lifestyle is not the same as theirs and because you won't do certain things and you won't go certain places and you won't say certain things. You can feel very isolated because of that in certain environments. And although we don't like to admit it, I almost think it makes us feel kind of vulnerable. Maybe we feel that it's a point of weakness. But even Christians, though we may not like to admit it, loneliness is a real thing that Christians can experience too. So what do we do with that? Well, when I was pastoring in North Carolina, there was a big pastor's fellowship that I went to. And shockingly enough, at these fellowships, there was oftentimes men who would get up and they would talk about things like this, loneliness or depression, and be a room full of pastors, you know, from all over the state. And do you know some of the testimonies that were given and some of the things that were brought up? To me, it was shocking at the time. I was a young pastor at the time. But pastors struggle with feelings of loneliness and depression even, more so than other folks that I meet sometimes within the church. Leaders struggle with loneliness. If you're familiar with West Point, right? You know, West Point Academy, the military academy. You know, they have entire courses that are there that talk about dealing with, as a leader, you will feel isolated. And they talk about loneliness there. They understand that that's a real thing, even in a secular environment, that as a leader, you will sense and feel emotions of loneliness and how to handle that and how to deal with that. It's a real thing. I have no doubt that there are some in here that this week you've struggled with thoughts of loneliness or you felt that way. Elizabeth Elliot. You know, you're familiar with the Elliots, right, and missionaries. She said, I wrote it down here somewhere, "Loneliness is a required course for leadership." Those were her words. And we know this is true. Paul dealt with loneliness in his life as well, as we're about to look at here in 2 Timothy. Let me say this before we look at the passage here. Most often, it's not that people actually feel alone in presence, that there's nobody around them. It's more so that they feel alone in spirit. For instance, going through something that they don't feel anybody else is going through a trial or facing some circumstance in life that you feel that nobody else is going through or that nobody else has been through, creates feelings of loneliness. You feel that isolation there. And even though you may be in a room filled with people you love, you don't feel that they understand it. And so it brings on some feelings of loneliness at times. Perhaps isolation due to embarrassment over something or a sin can bring about feelings of loneliness. The loss of something precious in your life, whether it's a loved one, a relationship, a job, maybe some possessions, friendships, those things can create feelings of loneliness. Or how about this one, a loss of identity? You ever had something happen in your life that just shook your whole world? Okay, I've been there. Just turned your world upside down and you struggled to even go on because you didn't even know how to go on or how you should go about it or what you should be doing. And you almost just feel like, I don't even know who I am. What am I even supposed to do? Loneliness kind of sets in. Loneliness, when it's not dealt with, can lead to depression. Say, wait a minute, can Christians be depressed? This is another one I've heard a lot of people say, that Christians should never be depressed. Well, but what if they are depressed? Then how do you handle that? And I've heard some interesting things about that. There are biblical examples of that. It doesn't take long reading through the Psalms of David, to realize that David faced depression and loneliness. And certainly a man who sought to follow God, was passionate about God, faced challenges of depression and loneliness. We'll see it. Paul faced some of these things. Elijah faced some of these things, even after he saw God's power up on the mount with the prophets of Baal. He faced loneliness and depression shortly after that. Job faced it on an extreme level, right? Loneliness and depression. Jonah faced it, a man of God that God used in a great way to go to Nineveh. And we see God spare the city, and yet we see Jonah fall into depression, and there's these thoughts and feelings of loneliness and isolation. So how do we handle this? Well, here's some thoughts this morning. I'm not going to tell you that if you just take these and you just walk out of here and everything's just going to be wonderful for you. No, these are things that help you get through thoughts of loneliness. It doesn't just eliminate that from your life, okay? But look at this morning. So for 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's read here during Paul's imprisonment. Let's look at verse number 16. It says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and I will and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." If there's anyone in Scripture that I know that can take a very bad situation, flip it around in his mind, and put a positive twist on it, and then use it to glorify God, I'd have to say it's the Apostle Paul. It's just amazing to me. Paul's mindset during imprisonment, during persecution. But this man faced thoughts and feelings of loneliness. Here, first of all, Paul looked to God for strength. When you're faced with loneliness, your number one source to go to ought to be God. And you'd think that would be so simple and something easy to remember. But it is amazing to me the number of times I've heard or talked with people who are faced with something in their life. It's depressing, or they feel lonely in it. They're struggling. And you ask them, "Have you prayed about this?" And their response is, "Wow, yeah, no, I haven't done that yet." Your first avenue to go to in any situation should always be, go to the God of all creation and come to him and say, "Here's what I'm struggling with." That ought to be number one, but sometimes we get so caught up in the things of life, and I get it. But God should always be number one, your number one source to go to for peace, to go to for help, to go to for strength. That should be, you'd think it would be a given, but it's not always the case. Sometimes pride gets in the way. Charles Stanley said this, "We should never be too proud to ask God for strength." We need that strength sometimes. Paul learned, whatever state he was in, to be content, right? And he was in some pretty awful states. But he learned to be content. his earthly title was stripped away from him after his conversion. He was no longer accepted by the Jews, and yet right away he was also not very well accepted by Christian converts. You know, is Paul really a convert, or is this just his in to kill us? Right? And yet he learned to trust that God was at work in his circumstances. And then don't miss this, he was constantly aware of God's presence. Are you always aware of God's presence in your life? It's not a sin to feel lonely. But in times of loneliness, are you aware of God's presence in your life? You know, it's good to have things in your home that are reminders. I think so. I've shared some of that in here before. I think of things we have in our home. Some stuff that it looks ugly and I don't like the way it looks. But it has something on it. It says something on it. You know, be still and know that I am God. Something like that. I see it. It stands out. And it's a reminder, you know what? God's got this today. God's with me today. God's hand is at work in the circumstances I'm going through today. And I choose rather to believe that than to dwell in the circumstance and feel alone in it. Paul looked to God for strength. By the way, when you stop being aware of God's presence in your life, loneliness and depression are certain to result. Our God is our fortress. He's our tower, the Bible says. The righteous run to him and are made safe. Our God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Let me ask you this. Have you ever come to a point in your life where you stopped everything and just went to God in prayer for nothing more than to ask God for strength in a given situation? That ought to be something we are in the habit of doing. Honestly, it really should be. Coming to God and saying, God, I need to sense your presence. God, please calm my nerves, settle my anxieties, God. Guide my words, guide my thoughts. Lord, this is happening at work. Lord, this is happening in our home. This is happening with our family. This is happening with our friends. This is happening with our neighbors. God, give me strength. Give me words. Give me the encouragement I need to be able to be an encouragement to them. God, help me with these things. Give me the strength that I need today. And man, there's a lot of situations where that prayer is very applicable, isn't it? Very, very many. Paul looked to God for strength. Also this, Paul treasured his friends. He treasured friendship. Look at verse number 9 there. Paul's writing, excuse me, to Timothy, and he says here, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Paul treasured his friendships. Even, by the way, it's interesting that he mentions Mark here. We won't get into this today, but there was a dispute. Remember when Paul and Barnabas had their little quarrel and there was a split that happened there? And Mark was kind of in the middle of all that. Paul was angry. And now here at the end of Paul's life, isn't it interesting that he says, take Mark. Mark is profitable to the ministry. I think that's very interesting. There's a whole lesson wrapped around that. We're not getting into that today. But sometimes we get caught up in our own issues that we forget to realize that we do have loved ones around us. Okay? At the same time, remember this, you can have all your friends gathered around you and still feel lonely. Loneliness comes in a variety of ways. And it may not be that you have no one around you, but rather you're facing something that no one else you know is facing. Okay? I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm going to open myself up here a little bit to you and just tell you, I struggle with this one. Okay? When I'm faced with a problem, my instinct is, go be alone and sort it out up here. Honestly, that's my instinct. Go get your fishing rod. Go out there to the creeks. Yesterday morning, we were going up White Lick Creek right up the road here and fishing. Okay? I need to go somewhere and sort things out in my mind. I need to go, if it's the right time of year, I need to go out in the woods and hunt. Sometimes I just need to go for a hike or go backpack a little bit or maybe even just go somewhere and sit. I have places where I know nobody else will be. And I go to those places when I need to sort something out, okay? That's not wrong to do, but I'll tell you this, there are some times when I've gone and done that and I've just felt very alone. And it didn't really get everything sorted out, and I honestly could admit to myself, I really need to just share this with somebody. You know what I'm talking about? And it's not that everything that you should have ought to be where you just run to your friend for every little thing, okay? That puts a lot of stress on a friendship sometimes, okay? But sometimes we need to bear one another's burdens, as Galatians chapter 2 tells us. And I struggle with that one at times. Sometimes we need that kind of help. We say things like this, well, I don't want to ask for that help. Well, that person won't understand anyway. Well, they'll be annoyed with me. Well, I don't want to burden them too. And sometimes it's not even necessarily any advice they can give you. It's just being able to tell somebody and not feel alone in that thought. Make sense? The book of Job. Job had... by the way, we're not equating ourselves with Job. Job experienced grief and depression and loneliness and pain and suffering on a level that you and I will never understand in this life. Because it wasn't just God's testing him. There was something there going on between God and Satan. And Job was caught in the middle of it. Now, that makes it sound negative, but can I tell you this? God knew that Job would be strong through that, and Job would be a champion through that. And by the way, I'm thankful for the book of Job because it gives us a lot of wisdom today in how we handle things and how we know things happen in life. But Job had three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Okay? And those three friends came to Job in a time when he needed it. Now, anytime I've ever heard somebody speak from the book of Job and they bring up Job's three friends, maybe once or twice in my life have I ever heard anything positive said about his friends. Okay? Most of the time, I hear negative things. Well, they accused Job of this, and they brought this, and they said, Job, this obviously must be why this is happening to you. And Job, we think this is what's going on. Job, why won't you just repent and come clean? And there's these conversations that happen around what's going on in Job's life from his friends. And yes, we can look at that and say, I don't think his friends were handling that right. But let's just be honest. His friends were just as confused by it as Job was. And they're trying to help him sort this out and figure it out. And yeah, sometimes things get said and sometimes ideas get brought forward that are wrong. And you could say what you want about Job's three friends, but can I tell you this? When Job needed it the most, those three guys showed up. And they sat with him for weeks on end and were there with him. Say what you want about his friends, whether they were good friends or bad friends, but they were there when he needed them. I would take those three friends. Absolutely, I would. I don't know that I have a friend in my life. Okay, now obviously my wife, right, we're together all the time. But if tragedy struck, I don't know that I have somebody who would come and just sit for weeks on end. That's a big investment in somebody's life. amazing investment. It's amazing that Job's friends were able to do that. Okay? But his friends were there. It's scary to think about, but do you have people in your life who would be there for you? We don't like to think about that because, man, that can get really uncomfortable to think about that. The bottom line on that is this. You can't control what other people do. You can't control whether or not somebody will be there for you or not. You can't predict that either, to be honest with you. You might have some who are close to you in your life that you would think, yes, I believe that person would. I believe they would do what they could do in a given instance. But you can't really predict it. But I think the best way to ensure that you will have people in your life who care is to be the kind of person who is there for others when tragedy strikes their life. That you have control over. Being there when others need it. We bear each other's burdens. Paul was not afraid to ask for help from his friends. I'll be honest, that's one thing I struggle with. I do everything by myself. I dug out our whole driveway by myself. I work on my vehicles by myself. And I have a hard time asking for help sometimes. Sometimes we need to, especially in serious cases. Paul was not afraid to ask for help, although he also did not abuse the friendship either. You would think that this would be easy for Christians, right? We're all on the same team. We're all in the same family of God. You would think this would be an easy thing. But it's not always the case, is it? We don't like to open up. We don't like to get very personal. I'll say that even I tend to look more for those that I can help and forget to seek help myself when I need it. And I think that's true in a lot of cases. Sometimes it's the opposite. Some people don't want to handle anything on their own, and they push everything on somebody else. And so there's a balance that takes place there, right? The Bible also says in Galatians 6, by the way, that you're supposed to bear your own burdens. You say, well, wait a minute. Are we supposed to bear our own or bear each other's? You're supposed to bear the burdens that God has given to you, but there are some burdens that, yeah, you need to share that and get help for that. That's a whole other fun study that we could get into, but not today. But anyway, Paul treasured his friendships, and he used that in times of loneliness. Paul also did this. He resorted to the word of God. Look at verse 13. He writes to Timothy, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring it with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Paul resorted to the words of God. Paul knew the Bible well. He studied the Bible well, particularly the Old Testament, right? I mean, the New Testament wasn't really accomplished yet, okay? Paul was working on it. Right? Okay, but let me ask you this. How frequently in times of crisis do you just turn to the Word of God? And I'm being serious about this. How often in a time of crisis or times of loneliness or times of depression or times where you just feel anxious, how often do you just get this book out and read? Not trying to find something specific, that's okay too, but I mean just pull it out, pick a book of the Bible, and start reading. Open your heart, open your mind, and let God speak to your soul. Do you do that? Not just reading a few things here or there. Do you ever just sit and read through a book of the Bible from beginning to end? Reading through the Psalms? Reading some Proverbs, whatever it may be, Paul resorted to the Word of God, and we need to do that, especially in times of loneliness. Do you stop and pray and bring your requests to Him? And some people will say this, well, I just don't really have the time. And if we're honest, we make time for the things that we want to make time for, don't we? It's true. We make time for it, for what we desire or what we want. In the evenings, by the way, this is not just a younger generation thing. I've seen this more and more among older generations too. In the evenings, the TV gets turned on. You know, a movie, a Netflix thing, or a YouTube thing, or something like that. And then next thing you know, a whole hour has gone by or more. And we wonder sometimes, why do I feel so lonely? Why do I feel depressed? It's because you're feeding on the wrong thing. Sometimes we just need to stop everything and go get alone and take this book, or even go with a friend somewhere and take this book and read. Just read the words of God. There's comfort in these words. There's joy in these words. There's peace in these words. There's happiness in these words. There's encouragement in these words. But how often, when you have time to read these words, do you just put this to the side and turn on the television, or pull out a phone, or watch a movie, or find some other way to fill your time? Paul resorted to the Word of God. Here's some applications this morning. We can find certain comfort from loneliness in the Word of God. We can ask God for strength during times of loneliness, and we can be such a friend that others can rely on in times of their loneliness. And I'll close with this. We have a few minutes. You know what the greatest example of loneliness is in the Bible? Jesus Christ. You say, well, wait a minute. We don't often think of Jesus Christ as being somebody who dealt with loneliness. No. Jesus dealt with loneliness to the highest degree. Okay? Let me share with you. We won't turn. We don't have time to turn. Matthew chapter 26. We read about this as Jesus' disciples forsake him before the crucifixion. Christ was alone during his trials. He was alone during his beatings and his mockings. And he was alone while he hung on the cross at Calvary and cried out the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he dealt with loneliness to a higher degree than you and I will ever have to experience, because God turned his back entirely on Jesus Christ so that you and I would never have to experience that kind of loneliness, so that we could be saved and not separated from God forever. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of loneliness. And by the way, he did it because he loves you and me. As a believer in Christ, yes, there are times that we feel lonely. And for many different reasons, we can feel lonely. But as a believer in Christ, your God is always with you. And he went through the ultimate example of loneliness so that you would not have to. Loneliness is very real and an impacting thing. And probably, I'll say this, the people that you would least expect in your life to be those that struggle with it probably struggle with it the most. Okay? I guarantee you there are some in this room who have dealt with loneliness this last week. It's okay to tell somebody that. In fact, it's even good. If you think about it, if you share that with somebody, you're no longer alone in that thought. Right? It's important for us, by the way, to bear one another's burdens of loneliness. It's a real thing. It's a very real thing. And I'll encourage you with this as we close. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only is God with you, but the Bible says this, no man shall be able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. So not only is he with you, but he holds you in his hand. When you feel alone or you struggle with that, remember that he's got you in his hand. He's your encouragement. He's your strong and mighty tower. He is your source of joy. Sometimes we need to get with somebody we know and love and remember that together. Sometimes we just need to stop everything and pray and take our Bibles and read. And sometimes we just need to stop and say, God, I need strength today. It's a hard day. I need strength today. And God blesses us with that, doesn't He? You're never alone as a believer in Christ. So be encouraged with that this morning as we'll wrap it up. I'm glad I'm being able to teach in here for the last 2 weeks. Pastor Morris is supposed to be back next week. And so I don't know when I'll teach again, but I look forward to it when that time comes. All right, let's bow in prayer and we'll be dismissed this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the Word of God that we can have it to read in times where we do feel discouraged or we feel lonely. Lord, we are so blessed to have a copy of this book and not be afraid of persecution because we hold it in our hand. Lord, things seem rough in the world today, but Lord, we can still grab a Bible and freely come to a place like this and worship together. Thank you for that, God. Preserve that freedom and that liberty for us. Lord, this morning, I have no doubt, Lord, as even I have faced this in the last week, I have no doubt there are others in here who have faced thoughts of loneliness. Lord, may they be encouraged today, as we know that you are with us. You hold us in your hand. And Lord, you are at work in our circumstances. You know our thoughts and you know our fears. You know our struggles. Lord, may we not be so proud that we don't ask for strength when we need it. May we turn to you immediately when thoughts or feelings like this come up in our life. Lord, thank you for being our God. And again, thank you for loving us. We love you, Lord, because of the love you have for us. Dismiss us with your blessing. I pray you have your hand upon the service this morning as well as this evening, Father. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.